believe part of what God wants to help us with is to stop looking, Kim, in the rear view mirror. Yeah. Will I turn around? You turn or go back? I'm going to keep on moving. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. So let me read a couple passages of scripture for those who say, is this really a church? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Deborah, I believe this is New American Standard. I apologize, I didn't get these notes to you in time. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. King James says every weight and sin, which would easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance. Say patience. Say it again, patience. Let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The King James says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostilities by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is how it reads in the Message Bible. Do you see what it means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. King James says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It goes on and says here in the Message Bible, it means we better get on with it. Yeah. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Say that. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls, meaning will bring encouragement and strength to you. We are in a race, y'all. We're in a race. It's a long-distance race. It's the race of life. And you've got to run it with wisdom, patience, discipline, and endurance. Come on, say wisdom, patience, discipline, and endurance. This isn't a sprint, and all too often we think that it is when it's a long-distance race. Anybody here run track? Let me see your hands. Anybody run distance track, long distance? I see your hands. All right, all right. Keith, what'd you run? Marathon? Oh, you just took it to the next level. Okay, I said, he said the marathon. All right. How long would it take? 4 hours. That took discipline. Yes, it took patience. It took endurance. What'd you run? Cross country. How long did it take? What'd you say? 20 minutes. Oh, you were good, huh? Just 20 minutes. But anybody that ran track, you know that it took a discipline. And depending on what you were doing, you needed to be patient, meaning you had to pace yourself. I ran track. I ran the mile. I'm not saying I was great in it, so, you know, don't. It was no big deal. But I learned something in it. Running the mile, you couldn't start out like you were running the 100-yard dash. You need to pace yourself. You would pace yourself off of other runners. And at the last minute, then you would you'd kick in. Hit that gear, and hopefully take you across the finish line. And hopefully in first place. But the writer here in Hebrews makes something very clear for us. He says, first of all, you got to let go of the things that can hinder you in the race. And then he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down next to his Father. All eyes on Jesus. All eyes on Jesus. Paul, in his writing, let me go back to one more passage in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:35. Don't cast away or cast off your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, but you have need of patience. You have need of endurance. That after you've done the will of the Father, then you will receive the promise. Patience and endurance. For some of you, I want to encourage you this morning to press into the endurance. Sometimes you can be waiting and you can wait a long time and not see results. But I want to tell you, this isn't the time to quit. Get your eyes refocused on Jesus. We're in a race. Paul speaks of it in Timothy. When he writes to Timothy and he says this, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He's likening it to a race, and he's passing the baton on. Sometimes we're not able to run the way we need to run because we keep looking through the rearview mirror of life. Paul writes, and he makes it real clear, Timothy, you're going to have to focus now. You're going to have to focus on the gift that was put into you by the laying on of hands and recognize it's your time. I love the fact that when he's talking to Timothy, he's saying, your grandmother and your mother played a part in this. Lois and Eunice. I love that. Because sometimes daddies just ain't there. When you historically read it, you'll find that Timothy's father was Greek. God has a way of getting to you what he needs to get to you so that you can fulfill what he wants to do in your life through any means necessary. Any means necessary. Now, I want to tell you that there's nothing wrong with looking back. As a matter of fact, that's why I wanted to sing that song. I stand here today, my faith still intact. Is Eric up there? Okay. Eric, you're supposed to be up here, man. Come on, Eric, join me. I don't need you to sing this song, but I thought he was back there. Thank God Jesus never leaves you. No. I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back except to remind myself. That's where you want to be. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Looking back with the wrong focus or for the wrong reason can be depressing. It can be disturbing. It can be debilitating. It can be distracting. And sometimes it can be dangerous. Just ask Lot's wife. Sometimes the challenge that we face, even as believers, is that we have not grabbed a hold of the reality that the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Come on, say all things. All things become new. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not some work that needs to be done. But I'm going to help us this morning shake off some of that stuff that keeps trying to show up in the rearview mirror. It's like the Disney song, Let It Go. I'm just having some fun, y'all. But y'all, how many of you know that movie Frozen? Anybody seen the movie Frozen? If you got kids, and there's the song in it, Let It Go. About every child can sing that song. Some of us need to sing it, Let It Go. I remember we had an event at our church in one of our other locations, and all the children were in there, and they had on that movie, the Disney movie, Frozen. And when it came to that song, Let It Go, every kid in the building jumped up and started singing it. I took note of that. I was like, okay. Yeah, every one of them knew the words, Let It Go. Let it go. Because looking back with the wrong focus or for the wrong reason can be depressing, disturbing, debilitating, distracting, and sometimes dangerous. God in his mercy looked at Lot and his wife and his family, and while he was yet judging Sodom and Gomorrah, he was going to deliver them. You remember the story. You know the story. You know it in Bible school, I think, Sunday school, maybe. They still have that. But God brings judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's saving Lot and his family. Matter of fact, he sends angels. He's moving divinely, supernaturally on their behalf. They're scared. When you read the passage of Scripture, it says that the men, now these are angels, grabbed them by the hand and took them out of the city. But there was a directive given to them. And that directive was from God, leave, go far from here, and don't look back. Don't look back. So they get on the outskirts of the town. It says that Lot's wife was behind Lot, and she turned around. And you know the rest of the story. Because you see, sometimes, even in our journey and moving in God, we can have the tendency to look back. We fall into, if I woulda, coulda. We find ourselves navigating in a way that we're not able to focus on the future, because we're still focused on things that in the mind and heart of God, he's saying, it's settled. Let it go. It's settled. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 22, Message Bible, there's a portion here that says this: forget about what happened. Say the past. Forget about what happened. Past. Forget about what happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. Say in the moment. In the moment. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There's the need for focus, y'all. Forget about what happened. Let it go. Don't keep going over old history, because it's a trick of the enemy to keep you rehearsing things that may not have gone the way that you hoped they would go or intended that they would go. Then it says, be alert, be present, means in the moment, the right now. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? See, our reality is this, the life. See, a lot of times, you know, we want to talk about the devil, but I don't want to give him credit. I don't want to give him, you know. I mean, there's times when it's got to be dealt with, but everything ain't the devil. You understand that? You see, life circumstances, family, work, finances, health, relationships, have a way of crowding in on us to the point that it's difficult to sometimes focus on what really matters. Give me just one amen right there. Just anybody. Just anybody. Just help me out. I got to, oh my. Let me say that again. Life circumstances, family, work, finances, health, relationships. Now, see, all too often, again, we want to make it about the devil. But life has its own challenges. Life has its own challenges. Life circumstances have a way of crowding in on us to the point that it's difficult to sometimes focus on what really matters. But the Bible tells us to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. There is a place in God that we can continually renew our focus. Because, church, here's the reality. God has a future for you. God has a future for you. I'm going to say it again. About three more of y'all say something with the two that just did. God has a future for you. Come on, say, God's got a future for me. And you have to understand, even with mistakes and missteps along the way, hear me now, he created you with his purpose and plan in mind. Yeah. He is still working that plan. Now, I need seven of y'all to clap with me right now. I am so grateful that in the midst of, hey, God, of the mistakes and the missteps along the way, that he's still working his plan. Didn't arrive here out of my own skill and ability. But God said, I got a plan. And you're part of my plan. And I need you just to stay with me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. All eyes on Jesus. God has a plan for you. And it doesn't matter what's in your rearview mirror, except that you keep looking at it and going over it. How many of you know you drive your car and look in your rearview mirror too long, you're about to mess something up. You can't even walk and turn back and keep walking and not run into something. Looking any direction other than straight ahead will set you on a course other than the one you think you're on. But the Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. That's why it says keep your eye on Jesus. You need to understand that, okay, I'm going to go ahead and say his name one time. The devil, well, it's not his name, but the enemy, he won't talk to you about your future. Except to make you concerned about your future. Try to make you fearful about things. He will bring up your past to try to discourage you, accuse you, disqualify you, But when you understand the love of God and you understand the redemptive power of Calvary, and you've yielded your life to God, you surrendered your life to Christ, it doesn't matter what mistake, it doesn't matter what failure, let it go. Five miles, 50 miles, million miles ago. The enemy will try to bring it up and make you think, feel like it was yesterday. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for us. He created you with purpose, his purpose, and his plan in mind. And he's still working that plan even now. All you have to do is keep your eyes on Jesus and follow him wholeheartedly. Our God is so infinite in his abilities to bring things to pass that there's nothing that he has to factor in at any moment. He sees it all. He knows it all the time. There's never a time that you do something. Something happens. He says, okay, I got to figure out what to do with that. My wife and I, we were listening to, Pastor Maurice and I, we were listening to Adventures in Odyssey. She really enjoys that program. So I'll listen to these stories with her. And this one story, this character is trying to find her friend. They had a car accident. And they had gone over a ravine. And divinely, they got to him. But she's having a conversation with a gentleman who's also a believer. And he's comforting her by saying, you know, but we're looking for her. Others are looking for her. God is looking for her. Now, I wasn't trying to mess up the story. But I said to Pastor, did he say God is looking for her? See, listen to me. It's those little things like that that can just get us off just a little bit from recognizing the God that we have, our God. It's the sovereign God. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He's never guessing. And even when you think about the challenges or you find yourself some for whatever reason, looking in that rearview mirror, what you want to find in that rearview mirror is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the redemption of God, the restoration. I'm only looking back to remind myself of what he's done. When Israel got on the other side of the Jordan, they said, listen, we need to send you into the Jordan, and you need to get 12 large stones and bring them out. You're going to set them up as a memorial so that anybody that comes and sees these and asks the question, what are these stones about? These stones are here to remind us of the faithfulness of God. All eyes on Jesus. There is no situation that God is not aware of, that he has not already worked out. He has no contingency plan, but he knows everything. That's why I can read in Luke 22, 31 and 32, it's a passage where the part before that, the disciples are all jockeying for their position in the Lord's kingdom. They're not understanding it. And then in the midst of that, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But, that's the word right there. See, you never want somebody to say, I love you, but. That means something altogether different, what they're about to say, and it nullifies what they just said. I like you, but he says, but I have prayed for you. He didn't say, but I'm going to pray for you. The Bible says we have a high priest who's forever making intercession for us, meaning that Jesus is praying for you, praying for me right now. Look at somebody and say, it's all right right now. It's all right right now. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. It's all right. All eyes on Jesus. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fell not. And I love this. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. He didn't say if you get it together. When you get it together, I've already prayed for you, Peter. I know what you're going to do. I know the decision you're going to make. And I've already prayed for you. It's already worked out for you. And if you know the rest of that story, when Jesus when he comes back, he's resurrected. The angels say to the women, tell the disciples and Peter. I love that. Come on, say, Peter got a personal invitation. I'm here to give some of y'all a personal invitation this morning. That God is saying to you, I've watched your life. I know your life. I know your end. And I'm giving you a personal invitation to refocus yourself and refocus your attention. Because there's more we have to do, more places we have to go. See, he wasn't excluding Peter. He was helping Peter get over the condemnation he was feeling. He felt disqualified. I love that. Because sometimes you just need that personal touch. Of the disciples and Peter. Yeah, Peter, we already talked about it. I told you what was going to happen. I prayed for you before you did it. My prayers work. I just got it like that. For you and I, here's our reality. It's hard to focus on the future. Be productive in the present. If you keep looking back and living in the past. Every part of your life, every part of my life is covered by the blood. I'm going to say it again. Every part of your life, every decision in your life, good, bad, or otherwise, is covered by the blood. And he wants us to recognize that and set our eyes on him. One songwriter said it this way, the pages have been stained by the blood he shed for me. Wow. Talking about the judgment day. The pages have been stained by the blood he shed for me. I can't read them. Neither can he. What's been forgiven has been forgotten, impossible to read. Blood-stained pages, stained by blood, shed for me. All eyes on Jesus. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. Quit letting the enemy try to bring up things. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Uncle Buddy, listen to what he has that he wants to do through you. There's more wisdom for you to impart. You've had a full life. Your military life, you were a colonel, Colonel, you don't arrive there quick, fast, and in a hurry. 97 years old, and God says, I have you still here because there's more for you to say. There's more for you to say to your family. There's more for you to live out. He wants you to know that today. Chris and Kim, it's time. It's time. It's time to do what you need to do so that you can step into a place of ministry. It's like you've been, you're already doing things in ministry. See, we think you got to go through this, go through that, be ordained. But God has ordered your steps. He's watched your steps. And everything you've endured, he's been right there with you the whole time. But he brought you here. He allowed you to come here. And you've committed yourself and submitted yourself here because God has purpose to move through you. He says, it's time to get it together. You know what I mean. It's time to get it together so that now you can step into. Kim, he's looking at you. So I want you to, he's looking at you. Okay. It's time. Sometimes you look and you're looking at people and you're thinking, well, they just seem so far beyond where I'm at. And listen, y'all, we all working this thing out. I'd like to you. I'm still working through some stuff myself. Some folks just carry it better than others. There's a grace for it. And those that are joined to this house and heard me say many times, I'm not as together as I'd like you to think I am. Go ahead, Rodney, you can say that to your wife. Go ahead. No, I'm just joking, man. She said, I already know it. Don't you ain't got to say it. I already know it. I want to pray over us now. Take a moment in your own words. Anything that has tried to be in that rear view mirror place in your life. Come on, we're going to let that go right now.